Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 293 of Heroes Unlimited, a day on which we pass judgment. We've been following the epic tale of Aaron Oliver throughout the major super abilities section, and today we have arrived at Super Energy Expulsion, a superpower that is just an amped up version of the energy explosion powers that we saw back in the minor super abilities section. It's a continuity heavy day because I call upon you, dear listener, to act as the jury as we take everything we know about the works of Aaron Oliver and determine who's to blame for the shortcomings they display in this book. So for those of you who are just joining the show or who have maybe forgotten what happened in previous episodes, let's do a recap. Aaron Oliver was a fan of Palladium who wrote a bunch of new powers. They first appeared in the Rifter number 1 back in the Heroes Unlimited revised days, and the powers that he wrote were so good that they got adapted into new powers for Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition. They appear under the byline, typically, of Aaron Oliver and Kevin Sambita, because for each of these powers that appeared in the Rifter, before they could make the transition to being canon in Heroes Unlimited, Kevin Sambita worked his Sambita magic on them and changed them to bring them in line with his incomprehensible vision for the game. So when these powers don't exactly work, which is always, we have to ask ourselves, did Aaron Oliver do this, or did Kevin Sambita do this, or was it some unholy fusion between the two that created the problems that we see, which typically are the same for all the Aaron Oliver powers? It's a cool concept, but the mechanical implementation is a little bit dodgy, and the useful abilities that are part of the superpower are needlessly nerfed so that the character's sort of spotlight moments are ruined by the fact that they're not even good at the thing they're good at. In the past, I've looked only at the version of Aaron Oliver's powers that are found in this book, but on a wild hair today, because I needed to talk about this very boring superpower of Super Energy Explosion, I decided to dive back into the Rifter number 1 and look up the original version of this power so that we can compare the two and finally lay this controversy to rest. Who is to blame for the state of Aaron Oliver's powers in Heroes Unlimited? So let's go through this step by step and look at the changes made to Super Energy Explosion with Kevin Sambita's collaboration. First of all, just the basics. All this power does is allow you to shoot extra lasers. That's basically it. This game already had energy explosion powers for shooting out fire or whatever. This power, you take one type of energy, you can shoot that type of energy, and you can extra shoot it. That's the basic concept. So, subpower number 1, quote, energy explosion. The player must choose what type of energy his character can unleash. Energy, light, electricity, fire, or sound. This is a notable change. In Aaron Oliver's version, ice was also an option. That was removed for the final version. I don't know why. For the most part, this works just like a normal energy explosion minor power. Does 3d6 damage plus 1d6 per level of experience. You can modulate it in increments of 1d6. However, in Aaron Oliver's original version, there's also a super blast option. And what this does, it's a blast of whatever energy you shoot that is really big. It has an extra bonus to strike. It does 4 times the normal amount of damage, but it takes up half your actions for the melee. It lasts for multiple seconds, so it's like a continuous blast. It's like a fire hose of energy blast. It has a chance of knocking people down or knocking them back from sheer force. It's pretty cool. In the version found here in the book, that is nerfed down to the quote-unquote super blast, the so-called super blast, that does 1d6 times 10 damage plus 1d6 per level of experience, and then an additional 30 damage for characters who are 6th level or higher, which is a really weird way to try to finesse your math. You have to do it as the first attack of the melee round, and it uses up all but one of your actions. So it uses now a variable amount of actions, depending on how many actions you've got, and it uses up all but one of them, but you can't take that action first. You have to shoot the laser first, then take your one remaining action at the end. It no longer lasts for multiple rounds, so no longer has this kind of fire hose effect. It no longer knocks people over. And because it only does 1d6 times 10 plus 1d6 plus 30 in the case of a character 6th level or higher, a nice, simple, elegant equation, what that comes out to is an amount of damage that is in no way worth the actions you spend on it. It's always less damage than just using those same actions to shoot your regular laser. So in essence, it's been made complicated and useless, and it's taken away the distinctive thing of, like, not only can you shoot a fire blast, but now you can shoot, like, a continuous spray of flame. Or not only can you shoot a brick ray, but now you can shoot like a full screen Marvel versus Capcom style, you know, 6-foot-tall brick ray that pushes people back. So on the first count, energy expulsion and the quote-unquote super blast, I would say Kevin Sambita's interference made this power much, much worse. That is my argument to you, the jury. You can decide for yourselves. Number two, absorb, channel, and fire any energy type. This is a totally new addition. This was not in the original Rifter version. Quote, the super being can momentarily absorb massive amounts of energy, the equivalent of something that would inflict 80 points of damage or more, channel it through his body, stopping the energy from spreading or zapping out uncontrolled or from overloading and exploding, and unleash that energy as powerful blasts. This means by standing in a blazing inferno, the character can unleash blasts of fire. By tapping into a generator or grabbing live electrical wires, he can fire electrical blasts. By taking a mega powerful laser blast, he can in turn fire, in this case one, a laser blast back, and so on. If it's hard to follow me when I quote these, know that it is because the grammar is extremely horrible. But to sum up, what this means is you can stand in the middle of an energy source, absorb it into your body, and shoot out that kind of energy. Conceptually, this is cool, and it wasn't in the original power, so that's 1 point for Sambita. However, the implementation here is pure laser garbage, because this was obviously written by someone who does not take care with their verbiage, which is not a habit you want to get into around Palladium fans, right? We're like sharks. Like, it's not quite at a Pathfinder level, where you will maybe literally be eaten alive if you are a designer who uses words carelessly, but the Palladium forums are full of people trying to parse these sentences in a doomed attempt to save them. For example, the super being can momentarily absorb massive amounts of energy. What does momentarily mean here? Does it mean that you can, in an instant, absorb energy and shoot it out as a blast? Or does it mean you can stand up to the energy for a moment so that you can create a blast? In other words, is this something that just happens quickly, or is it limited to a moment? Because if it's limited to a moment, maybe think twice before you step into that blazing inferno. Similarly, quote, massive amounts of energy, the equivalent of something that would inflict 80 points of damage or more. Does it have to be that much energy for me to shoot a blast with it? If it's less than that, can I still absorb the energy but just not shoot a laser? Or if I step into a fire that does 60 points of damage because I misjudged how hot it was, do I take 60 points of damage but still can't shoot a fire blast? These are things I really need to know before I step into a fire. You're asking for a big commitment from me. If I'm going to step into a blazing inferno, I really need to know the details of this bargain. Speaking of this bargain, there's an additional cost, in addition to the kind of trust fall of just like backing up into this fire and having faith that it's going to turn into energy blasts, not horrible burns. This cost is detailed under the dire heading of, quote, deadly limitation. Every melee round that the super being absorbs and channels this powerful and deadly energy, he suffers 2d6 points of damage direct to hit points. Thus, if he taps this energy for too long a period, he could die. Whether this is instead of or in addition to the damage I would normally take from this energy source, I really don't know. There's no indication here of whether, for example, if I get hit with a laser. I know I can now shoot a laser, but did I take damage from the original laser? I don't know. What I do know is I take an average of 7 hit points of damage for absorbing the laser energy and turning it into a laser blast. However, the laser blast just does the same damage as the normal energy I can shoot, so I'm not really gaining anything from this, unless I'm up against someone who has a special vulnerability to some energy type, like lasers, or sonic, or fire, and I have a source of that energy right nearby. But instead of just turning it on them directly, I decide to, at great peril to my own body, leap into this damaging source of energy that's right at hand, and then turn it into a blast that I can shoot at the bad guy. Also, note the rate that I take this HP damage. It's 2d6 per round. Most sources of these energy types, like a Blazing Inferno, sure, that'll burn me for a whole round. One more good reason not to walk into it like a chump. But if I get hit by a laser blast, a sonic attack, an electrical discharge, that's like an instant thing. It doesn't apply for one round. So the rate of time where I take damage is weird too. Let's say that I get hit by one big laser that does 75 points of damage. We're immediately confronted with a bevy of questions that I have no answers to. Do I need to be ready to absorb it, to not take damage? Can I absorb it, given that it does less than 80 damage? If I do absorb it, do I in fact take the 75 damage? Since it happens instantly and not over a full round, do I take the 2d6 hit points of damage? Very basic questions I need to know whether I just got killed by a laser, and whether I can, in turn, pass on this chain letter of death and kill another person with a laser. I have answers to none of these questions. None of this has anything to do with Aaron Oliver. It is all Kevin Sambita. Or Jonathan Breese, who, by the way, also has a credit on this byline. So on count two, absorb, channel, and fire any type of energy, I submit to you that this could not possibly be Aaron Oliver's fault. It is a conceptually interesting, but fundamentally broken and badly written addition to his power. So I think Aaron Oliver is off the hook on this one. Subpower three, aura effect. This is where, instead of shooting a bolt of energy, you do a, quote, spherical flash of energy. It hits everybody within 10 feet of you. This is more or less as Aaron Oliver wrote it, except that a chance to blind opponents was added, which is kind of cool. Makes this a distinct tactical option. And the duration, though, is extended to, quote, a few seconds, counts as two melee actions. This is not so cool because extending this power to have a long duration creates an awkward interaction between the two actions it takes to trigger it and the amount of time it lasts. It seems like it takes two actions and it lasts those two actions, which raises the question of whether you can just use it for one action if you so choose, and the question of if you choose to limit the duration to one action, which is your right per the duration rules, what are you doing for that second action? And also, the range of this power is listed as 10 feet, but the text says that you hit everything around you within 10 feet, so I think where they say range, they meant radius, and it has to be centered on you, but that's not what the rules actually say. So the rewrite fucked this power as well. You can see a trend beginning to emerge. From there on out, this power is pretty much as Aaron Oliver wrote it. There's a ricochet blast effect, which is kind of cool, works well, some resistances to various energy types, and the ability to make your body glow in case you need to, like, read in bed or whatever. All three places that this basically elegant and interesting power was changed, it got worse, longer, and harder to understand. So I think it is very clear that the fault in these powers mostly lies with the rewrites, not with Aaron Oliver's original drafts. Once again, I leave it to you, the jury, to decide, but get ready for these closing statements because I'm going to blow your mind. There is no greater indictment of Kevin Sambita's meddling with Aaron Oliver's work than the very fact that Super Energy Explosion is here at all. This power is a minimal contribution to this game. We already had powers to shoot lasers, right? We already had an energy explosion power that creates an aura of energy around you that hurts people. It could easily have been reskinned from electricity to fire or whatever. The ability to absorb and channel energy is kind of interesting, but doesn't work at all, and is an original addition to this power anyway. It's not even in Aaron Oliver's original. This power just doesn't give much to the game. Yet, Kevin Sambita selected it to put in his book, while passing up the following other Aaron Oliver powers from Rifter Number 1. Get ready to shake your damn head, as they say on Twitter, because this is what we're not getting to make room for Super Energy Explosion. Alter Physical Structure Putty. This is like Clayface powers. Animate Drawings. Divine Healing. Liquefaction, the ability to turn objects and people into goop. Self-Explosion, which has a number of sub-powers, despite its seemingly elegant concept. The first of those sub-powers has my favorite name of any Heroes Unlimited sub-power, quote, explode whole body. And if missing out on liquefaction and self-explosion was not enough, we also missed out on super consumption, the power to eat fucking solid objects like Matter Eater Lad from the Legion of Superheroes. And it was a fully thought out power that realized that to do that, you'd have to have a super tongue, and therefore it gives you a super tongue. There's a full description of the super tongue, which includes the following text, quote, the tongue is strong enough to support the character's full weight above the ground for as many melees as he has physical endurance points, which presumably is meant to indicate that you can, for example, do a chin up with your tongue, or like hang from the ceiling if you're in stealth mode by hanging from your tongue. But I prefer to think that when it says it's strong enough to support your full weight above the ground, it means that you like flip over and stand on your tongue and like balance in the air as like a circus trick. Either reading is permissible. The text supports me in this. So, I mean, again, no doubt, Super Energy Explosion was fucked up by Kevin Sambita's interference. More importantly, though, just choosing Super Energy Explosion and not giving us Clayface powers, the ability to bring our drawings to life. Did you know there's an illustration in the Rifter Number 1 of a superhero who's animating his own drawings, who's got a fucking pen pouch on his 1990s belt of pouches? That's amazing! A superhero with a pouch that actually does something, that holds a pen so he can draw monsters and bring them to life? That's incredible. We're missing out on a much-needed healing power for this game. We're missing out on being a superhero who turns people into fucking slime. And we're missing out on the ability to do a tongue stand. To make room for what? Extra laser powers? To supplement the existing laser powers? The dumbest thing on this page is that this power is here at all. And I worry, honestly, that because I have to say names in this episode, right? I have to talk about Aaron Oliver and Kevin Sambita because we're talking about two different contributions. I can't just generically say the author. That worries me because I try not to be too hard on people individually in the podcast. As much as it may seem like I'm dumping on Kevin Sambita, when I really get into like complaining in a mean way about this book, I try to like leave the names off it because I know it's a whole process. There's an author, there's an editor, theoretically. There are production constraints, so the author is like an abstract. I worry that in this episode, I am being too hard on Kevin Zambita, who, it goes without saying, has provided me, and by extension you, with a tremendous amount of joy in your lives. But I think it's a fair criticism to say that there was only so much space in this book, and there was a tremendous amount of support and interest in this game from the outside. You know, there were a lot of people, fans, willing and able to contribute to Heroes Unlimited, including somebody like Aaron Oliver, who was producing some good shit. I mean, despite the fact that Oliver was like a teenager, he was turning out stuff that compares very favorably to the canonical material. And the dumbest thing on this page is that, you know, as much as it seems mean to say it, I think that Kevin Zambita was personally kind of a bottleneck on quality for this game. I think fans were coming up with things that would have been great additions to this game and made it into the Rifter. But Kevin Zambita's work on those powers, both in selecting which ones to use for this game and in rewriting the ones he did use, made them worse. It seems like a harsh criticism, but this is one example of a page of Heroes Unlimited that is worse because it had to pass through Kevin Zambita's hands. And I guess that's just like a symptom of his peculiar genius or whatever you want to call it. Kevin Zambita fundamentally is about ideas and energy. That's what he brings to the table. And execution does not seem to be his strong suit. When somebody else is bringing the ideas and the energy, he basically is a limiting factor on how good it can be when it gets to the page. Which is really a shame, because I want to play a superhero who can't explode whole body. Anyway, all the evidence is in your hands now. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must decide whether Aaron Oliver or Kevin Zambita, or both, or neither, are to blame for the state of Aaron Oliver's powers in Heroes Unlimited. With the end of this episode, I leave this question to rest. I will comment no further, even as it gets pretty damn difficult tomorrow when we talk about another Oliver and Zambita power that will drive your campaign off the pier and into the depths of the fucking sea on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.